Praise the Lord. You're going to forget that you had the problem. That's why he said, leave your burden at the door when you come into the house of the Lord. Leave it at the door. Praise the Lord. Because in here, praise the Lord, the joy, the peace in here. When you put it in the Lord's hand. How many want to put it in the Lord's hand tonight? How many want to put it in the Lord's hand?
We are in hopes that you enjoyed our message today and were truly blessed. Each month, our ministry provides free food and clothing on the first and third Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. for all men, women, and children. For more information, please call 337-238-0314. Praise be to God for our founder and pastor, Annie Mulberry. Be blessed in Jesus' name until we meet again this same time next week. This ain't no ordinary. No, 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 no. The God of service greater.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
You just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
Stand. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear God, we come first and foremost to say thank you. Thank you, O Lord, for watching over us all night last night. Thank you, dear God, for the loving hand that woke us up early this morning. Thank you for the grace and mercy that you bestowed upon these old lives of ours. Thank you, Father, for being God and being God all by yourself. Thank you, O Lord, for not treating us as our sins deserve. Thank you, Father, for looking past all of our faults and treating us with love, mercy, and grace. Father, we know all great things and all good things come from your hand. We know that all life flows from you. All love flows from you. All mercy, all grace. Father, we just want to give you all of us to give you the glory that you so richly deserve. We want to call on your name, Father, early in the morning. We want to call on you, dear God, in the midday hour. And Father, when troubles are all around us, oh God, we want to call on you in the midnight hour. Father, we want to let you know that we love you. Dear God, we want to let you know that we need you right here in this place right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And there was not anything made that was made without him. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Amen and amen. How many of you know that God is mighty sweet? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Oh, he's mighty sweet. He's sweeter than a honeycomb, it says this. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Because God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So we give honor. We give praise. We give glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I give thanks for my life and for this day. I give thanks to my pastor, Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr., to the pastor emeritus, Dr. Huey Lawson, in his absence, to Minister Cindy Michelle Humphrey, to the officers, members of this congregation, to my family, my beloved wife, Miss Jennifer Denise Lonix, my sons, Ray and Evan, to friends and visitors alike. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And for those of you that don't know me, I am yours truly, Reverend Rod Lonix, ambassador for the living word of God. Amen. 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 For those of you that have your Bible, I won't tally long. I would pray to God that my preaching and teaching would not be in vain. Amen. That his people would learn to come into the knowledge of God. Yes. To know your Savior's characteristics. To know some of his attributes and his attitudes. To get into the knowledge of God, not just regular teaching and preaching. I've embarked on a series that I've been working on, and the title of it is The Sovereign Savior Who Serves. the sovereign Savior who serves. As I said, I'm yours truly, Reverend Rod Lonnie. You find this in the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Those of you that have your Bible, would you please stand in honor of the word of God? You'll find it in the book of Philippians, the second chapter, beginning at the fifth verse. Our focal verse will be the sixth verse, and it will only be the very first phrase in the sixth verse. Recorded here are these words. And for those of you that are unable to stand, the God that we love and we serve, he certainly understands. It reads as this: let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the readers, the hearers, and doers of his holy word. The sovereign Savior who serves. This sixth verse, I'm only working with this very first passage here, but I'm going to start from the back and move forward. Here in this sixth verse where we see where Paul says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I want to get that out of the way so I can go ahead and teach. The word robbery comes from the Greek word hypergamos. It means to snatch or to clutch off, to pull to oneself for himself. Now, Paul said it exactly the way that it should be. Not robbery to be equal with God. Not robbery. Not is the operative word. Robbery is the verb, is the action word here. This word has no meaning on Jesus. This is why Paul said not robbery, because he's not clutching at anything. He's not grasping at anything. He's not trying to take anything for himself. He's already divine. He already has divinity. Divinity is his already. So we understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We know that Jesus is the living Son of God. We know he's the Son of God. He's second in the Godhead. I don't want you to get confused. Who being in the form of God. Paul chooses these two words very carefully in our text. He is our writer, and he is talking to the Philippian church. But he chooses his words very carefully. He chooses them to show the unchangeable Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first word that we need to spiritually magnify here and bring into focus here, folks, is the word being. The word being comes from the Greek word hupershon, or hupershon, tomato, tomato. And what it does, this hupershine is what describes that which a man is in his very essence and which cannot change. You've heard the older folks say it all the time, that you cannot change a leopard spots. You cannot change a tiger stripes. You can dye his color, you can cut his fur off, but a tiger stripes will always be black. And a leopard spots will always be black. You can't change that. For us, we are who we are. You are who you are, and it is what it is. And that's what it is. This word, hupershon, it does describe that which a man is in his very essence, and it cannot change. But this word, hupershon, it also describes that part of a man which in any circumstance remains the same. Now we know Jesus is, was, and is forever God. We know that Jesus is and was forever, more essentially and unalterably God. You can't change his being. You can't change who he is. Let me help you right here. Before the earth had form and was void, Jesus was here. John just told you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's unalterably God.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ is the same God yesterday.
Yes, sir.
He's that very same God today.
Yes.
And he'll be that same God forevermore.
Yes, sir.
He's too high to get over.
Yes.
He's too low to get under.
Yes.
He's too wide to get around.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Now, whether Jesus was praised by his people, or whether he was persecuted by his own race, did not matter. Whether he was loved by his own disciples, or he was hated by the Pharisees and the hierarchy government of the Sadducees, all the way up to Herod, it did not matter. Whether he was worshipped by believers or non-believers, whether in the temple or out of the temple, whether down in the valley low or whether on the mountainside with fish and bread, it did not matter. Whether he was mocked, whether he was worshipped, it did not matter. If he was mocked on an old rugged cross by the fool that has said in his heart that there is no God, Jesus is, was, and still is God. Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh because John said so. I just gave it to you. But he also told us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes.
And we beheld his glory,
yes,
the glory of the only, of the begotten, of the Father.
Yes.
Amen. Full of grace and truth. The same Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the same Jesus.
Yeah.
Manifested in the flesh. They of olden time often called him Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Emmanuel is what they called him. God with us.
Yeah.
Is that not what they called him?
Yeah.
Don't you sing it in the sanctuary?
Yeah.
Emmanuel.
Yeah.
God with us.
Yeah.
That is one of his names. Glory to God. On high. John 10 and 30, Jesus goes out and says it himself. He says, I and my Father are one. Jesus only did those things that pleased the Father.
Yes.
He thought it not robbery to be equal to God. He did it to save my soul and to save your soul. There's no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved. Only by the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hello, somebody.
Yes.
This Jesus, this same God, he said, I and my Father are one.
Yes.
God is omnipotent.
Well, yes.
God is omniscient. God is omnipresent.
Yes.
God is omnipotent.
Yes.
He is all powerful.
Yes.
He has all power of heaven and earth in the palm of his hand.
Yes.
He has the power of life and death in his hand.
Yes.
He has the keys of hell and death in his hand.
Yes.
He is omnipotent. There is none like him in all the earth or in all of heaven. There is no other God that can make this boast. He is omnipotent. He is God because he is. He is because he is. He said, I am because I am. God is God all by himself. He doesn't need me to tell you. God bless our soul. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. There is nothing hid that will not be revealed. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from your pastor. But you can't hide it from God. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. God has the thought to know. exactly what you have need of before you ask. And it has been said that while we are yet praying, while we are yet speaking, God has already answered your prayers. God has already worked it out for you. Won't he do it, Brother Lawson? Won't he do it? Oh, I know he'll do it. He's good to us. He's better to us than we've been to ourselves. He's omniscient. Keep on praying. Sweet smelling savors that go up to God. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere that he needs to be. God is everywhere that you need him to be. And if you're living in his will, he'll show us some places where you want him to be. Because God is. Because he is. Hello, somebody. God is God all by himself. He rules and super rules the universe in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they all are in agreement. They are all on one accord. We need to be on one accord. We need to be on one accord as believers. We need to agree to be on one accord. As Christians, we need to agree to be on one accord. As disciples, as followers of Christ, we need to agree to be on one accord. Hello, somebody. God is because he is. Mankind's greatest enemy is himself. Mankind's greatest challenge is to live as a Christian, no matter what circumstances that we face. That is man's greatest challenge, to live and act like a Christian, no matter what's facing him. We thank God that we are not alone because we have the sovereign Savior who serves us. The second word I want to bring to you here, I want you to magnify spiritually in this same verse, in this sixth verse, in this very first phrase. This word is form, the word form. Now, there are two words in the New Testament that relate to this. One is morph, and the other is schema. The word morph means the form that never alters. It describes the inner essence of a thing or a being. Do you understand what I'm saying? It never changes. The schema is the word which shows the outward form, which does change from time to time and from circumstance to circumstance. Now, let me work right here for just a minute. From time to time, things change. You hear the older generation tell us all the time. They say, just keep on waking up in the morning. Just keep on waking up in the morning. Keep on looking in the mirror. If you do these two things, you'll notice your hair color will change. Your skin color will change. Your nail color will change. That 28-inch waist that you had at 17, it will change. Your outward appearance will change. Your schema will change. Oh, yes, your schema will change. If you keep living long enough, if you keep getting up in the morning and you keep looking in the mirror, a whole lot of things will change. Your schema will change. Hello, somebody. Your schema. Your circumstance can play a big role here. If your circumstance involves you getting up at 6 or 7 in the morning, going down there behind that liquor store, buying you a fifth of blackjack and a half a G of Wild Irish Rose, and you drinking it every day for about 2-3 weeks before lunch, Your outward appearance is going to change. Your schema will change. Am I right about it? If you go down there between Augusta and John Thomas and Peabody back there on them alleys, if you get some of them boulders and put it on them glass genies for about 2 or 3 weeks, your outward appearance is going to change. You won't need Jenny Craig, and you won't need Slim Fast, because if you do that for about 2 or 3 weeks, you'll drop 100 pounds. Your schema will change because of your circumstances. But we are so thankful. We are so thankful that we have the sovereign Savior who serves us. He serves us in all of our trials, all of our tribulations, all of our ups, all of our downs, all of our ins, all of our outs. He serves us no matter what our circumstances are. He said he'd never forsake us. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. David said, once I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken and I've never seen his seed begging bread. Thank God for this sovereign Savior who serves us in our times of need. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what circumstances face you. Hello, somebody. He's always there. He's never went anywhere. Your schema may change, but God remains the same. He's always on time because he's an on-time God. And I've always known him to be right on time. He's never been late in my life. Hello, somebody. My Lord, my God, he's always on time. And I thank God for that Savior. I thank God for the sovereign Savior. I thank God for this sovereign Savior because he does not look upon the stature of a man. He does not look at the outward appearance of a man. He does not look at the schema. Hello, somebody. We're going to learn something here today. God looks at the heart. God looks on the inner being of a man. God looks on the inner essence of a man that makes a man. God looks at his mark. Hello, somebody. This is what God looks at. He's not worried about your schema. He wants to know about your morph. We're going to learn something in here today. Hello, somebody. It might take a moment, but we're going to get it. Thank God for the time. But he does not look upon us in the way that men look upon us. Let me illustrate a little bit right here. I'm getting ready to go. He's got these two words, I told you, this morph and this schema. Now, the morph of any human being is humanity. Because a person is still a person. And a person is still a human being. That's what he is. That's his morph. It's his humanity. Any human being, it's his humanity. This don't never change because a person is always a person. The schema or the outward form, like I told you, is always changing. As you age, it changes. A person can go from an infant, baby, toddler, small child, boy or girl, go to teenager, to adult, to elderly adult. Your schema changes as time goes. Everybody knows things change. Time change, people change. Things change. Your schema changes. But they still have the morph of humanity. Their being is still their being. Their humanity is still intact. It's the same with God. He never changes. He never changes. Paul uses this word morph for this phrase here, for Jesus being in the form of God. He's saying that Jesus' unchangeable inner essence is divine. I told you he's divine. He has divinity. Divinity was his. He was God. That's what he was. God put all things subject under his feet. He is all in all. That's what Paul told you. He's